Ever wonder, why was I even born? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Eddie Anders, who was on our previous show, who took 200 Ambien sleeping pills to end his life because he felt there was no purpose to his existence anymore.
And I think that when we go through hard times in life or trials, we can all wonder, what am I here for? What is my purpose? And I know that happened to me even at 19 years old. I had that question, what am I doing with my life? And why was I even born? And it's a kind of lonely, scary feeling when you go through that.
Yeah, I think people can really go through that, especially when they feel like they've messed up with something or, you know, exceedingly failed in their mind. And it can cause someone to really go through this feeling of despair and just this like, gosh, why am I even here? You know, and really wrong thoughts of what to do with one's life.
Right.
However, I want to share some truth with those who are listening. If you're alive, there is a purpose that God has for you. And not just one, there is purposes that God has for you. So if you're still alive, you haven't fulfilled all your purposes. We don't know what they are, but your main job is to find out, God, what is my purpose?
Yes, and as you seek him, he will guide you and direct your path. And sometimes the purpose for you is to get to know him. I know I went through that season of, I'm not really doing anything, but God wanted me to get to know him. So whatever season you're in, just know it's a season and there's a reason. And to not give up hope, but to know that God is going to guide you as you seek him. And so maybe you're going through a hard time and wondering, what's my purpose? Like I said, look out and seek the Lord for him. And maybe you're one of those who are about to give up and you're just like, I just can't live this life anymore. Can I just tell you, hold on. Hold on, my friend. Don't give up altogether because God has a plan for you. The Bible says in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make junk. He makes people for a purpose, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's hear from Eddie Anders after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Elite Nails and Spa Towers and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Dreaming of a relaxing manicure, pedicure, and to die for nails? Make your dream a reality at Elite Nails and Spa, where they always take the time to leave you feeling sensational. Come see them at the corner of East Hamden and South Tower Road in Aurora, or call them at 303-955-7112. You'll get a 10% discount if you mention this radio ad. That's 303-955-7112.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakening.com. AwakeningTheNations.com. That's www.AwakeningTheNations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Eddie Anders, and he has been a musician for over 35 years and has worked with famous people such as Dolly Parton. He's also been with the Gaither Vocal Band. He's worked with so many people that you would probably recognize. But even in the midst of having all of this fame and even fortune, he was depressed and ended up taking his life. But God gave it back to him. And we're going to find out exactly what happened. So let's welcome back to the show, Eddie. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here. Really, seriously, it's great to be here.
Yes, yes.
You're right. You know, that's what the doctors told me in Minneapolis, that it was only by divine providence that I could have possibly survived. The head of the ER said that for 35 years, he'd never seen that lethal of an attempt to suicide fail.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are listening, and maybe you didn't tune in to our last show, Eddie was very performance-based, grew up in a religious, legalistic type background.
Well, you know, he got to a point where he felt like he failed God. And then what was interesting was that he stored up all this Ambien, he stored up all these drugs, and basically that's where you left off. What did you do, Eddie? How did this attempt to suicide happen?
Well, my wife, Nancy, was used to me getting up early in the morning. I'd go to my office between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning because it was quiet, nobody around. I could write, I could arrange, I could record. Everything was great. So This particular morning, which was July the 6th, 2006, I got to my office at about 4:15. And what prompted it this particular day was just a few days earlier, I had the senior pastor and a couple of his associate guys call me into the office. I just turned 50 years old, and they were all low 30s, late 20s. They called me into the office, and even with all of our success, and said to me, not hinted, told me verbatim, "You're too old to be relevant anymore, and so we want you off the platform." Well, that was the last snap, the twigs in my bag, and I had everything stockpiled and ready to go. But that's when I decided, and it was about 4 days later that I made this trip, and I decided I was either going to St. Louis, Chicago, or Minneapolis, which was all about anywhere from a 4 to 5 hour drive, because I didn't want them to find me till it was too late. So, you know, I drove to Minneapolis, checked into a hotel, not my name, I trashed my computer, left my cell phone in my office with a lot of notes, especially to the church guys, and basically by lunchtime had consumed the first bottle of Ambien, which was over 100, in addition to two bottles of Dramamine and all the Phenergan to keep me from throwing it up.
Wow. Yes. Let me ask you a question. As a Christian person, someone who grew up in a religious type home, was there any thought that you might not get to heaven at that point? Or did you think you were already in hell and you would end up there? Or did you think God would have mercy? What were you thinking is your afterlife?
I asked for his grace, and I really did. I took my Bible, I put pictures of my kids and my wife on my bed, and opened my Bible and prayed to God that he would take care of my wife and kids and have enough grace to forgive me for what I was about to do. But I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, there was just this immense amount of just, and I didn't really realize it until after I got beyond all this, just how much there was on the inside of me that had led me to this point. You know, I'd brutalized myself, but I was working so hard to please people that I took the blame for things I didn't even do just to make peace with people. And, you know, if you'll take the blame, people will lay it on you. Uh-huh. But I truly believe that the grace of God would secure me. You know, I didn't have a fear of that. And I really truly thought that everybody would be better off without me. It's a hard thing to ever imagine being at that place, but that's where I was.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, I appreciate your honesty because there are people struggling even now that are listening to this. And you know, it's amazing. When you said that prayer, I believe God heard your prayer and he knew what was best for you because you didn't die. He knew what was best for your wife. So you took all of these pills and here you are in this hotel and you wake up and you're alive. What were you thinking?
Yeah, that happened on Thursday afternoon. I woke up on Saturday morning. By this time I was on the floor. I don't remember getting there. There was Ambien spilled. The other bottle was spilled all around me and on the nightstand. The only thing I remember thinking was, I've got to end this. I didn't wake up and get repentant. I didn't wake up and think, thank you, God, that I wasn't successful. First thing I thought was, the only thing I even remember thinking was, I got to finish it. And I began to pick up Ambien off the floor. And I know I took another 5 or 6. I don't even know how many more I took. And I don't remember anything until Saturday afternoon, waking up in the hospital. But during that time, I called home. They were planning my funeral at my house, by the way. The same staff that had rendered me irrelevant were now planning my memorial service because they thought the sun comes up on Saturday on the third day. We're probably going to find him dead now. So sure enough, you know, I called home. They found me. I go through the process. Sunday afternoon, God really touches my life. You know, I hit a certain television ministry while I'm just channel surfing, waiting on the doctor to come in. And the guy says on television as I hit the channel, the spirit of suicide's on you. And if God hadn't rescued you, you'd be dead right now. Wow. And everybody in the room turned their attention to the television. And over the next couple hours, I just wept from a place I can't describe. It was like God screwed a hose on the top of my head and flushed me out and filled me up. God had rescued me. Now he was healing me. And the process of the next 6 to 12 months, and really ever since, was going to be just a continuing, ongoing process of healing and strengthening. And what you said, God answered my prayer because after all this was over, I remember God just whispering in my heart, and I've hung on to this forever. I allow the enemy of your soul to take you to a place that only I could rescue you from, so you would never doubt my love for you again, and you would never feel like you have to prove anything to me. And that was the beginning of a new walk. And what happened is, you know, I said in the previous program that I'd been raised to live from the outside in, basically. And now God was rewiring me to live from the inside out.
Wow.
I was now going to live out my life from a place of relationship with God and this intimacy, like Brother Lawrence said, you know, practicing the presence. I now had a realization of that. I now had a true realization of grace and the fact that I no longer live literally, but Christ lives within me. And every day is grace. Mm. And deciding every day, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And all these scripture verses that had become cliches as to a professional Christian now became the cornerstone of my new life, which was now living from the inside out rather than the other way around. And it revolutionized everything. Black and white became full color. You know, it was like God just woke everything up in me. And that's the way life has been for the last now 12 years.
Powerful. Well, we just love your honesty and how God has changed your life. And you do have a book for anyone who's interested called Waking Up Dead. And people can get that on Amazon and different places.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, on my website, which is eddieanders.org. And I've got a companion CD. A lot of my music friends, guys from Toto in Chicago, and guys like Phil Keggy, and different people, guys from For Him, a lot of different folks who wanted to help tell my story. There's a companion CD that goes with the chapters in the book. So all that's available on my website or iTunes. It's ebook form. You can get it through iTunes and Amazon and all those things.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Eddie, all that God has done and taking you from being a performance-based Christian to knowing the love and the grace of God. And we believe that he's going to do that for someone even now. Someone who's thinking of suicide, they won't do it because they've heard this show and they know God loves them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think the word of the Lord for someone right now is that God loves you. He already did everything that you need. Everything else in your life, it's just extra. And I sense that this word is for someone because you are needed. God needs you. That's the extra that God died for, is that there's a relationship where God is not just going to do his great work on his own, but that he chose to partner with you. So you have a calling, you have a mission, and you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wake up and let him in and let him just accept you just as you are, taking you from love to love. Jesus, we take this moment to take you in and just to say, God, thank you that you're accepting me just as I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to walk with you and that you are a graceful, loving God. Mm-hmm. We thank you for this day in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.